The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We are the body. And in Corinthians, it's made clear. In Romans, it talks about being the body. Romans 12:5 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." So we realize that there is something about this connection that we have. Jesus Christ is the head, but we are the body. And being a church, sometimes I think we get confused about what it means to be the body of Christ, because we're always talking about the church, the church, the church. But the reality is, the church is the body. And the church is more than Bethel Worship Center. The church is everywhere. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But being church and doing church is what the body of Christ is all about. Ministering, touching, you know, reaching out to people, recognizing who we are. But you know, there's some things about church sometimes that, as awesome as the body of Christ is, there's some things that are a little difficult, a little uncomfortable. Relationships. We want to talk about relationships through this series, because it's not always easy. Being relational. Recognizing the importance of loving one another. You know? And sometimes, you know, what we need to realize is that this thing that we have is a covenant. That's why when you come to Bethel Worship Center, and if you decide you choose to be a covenant member, we have a class. Everybody's considered a member, but if you want to be a covenant member, you're making some commitments to Bethel, and Bethel's making some commitments to you. And some people are real uncomfortable with that. I realize that. We don't force it. And if you want to be, that's fine. But here's the thing, and when you come to the place where you're willing to make a covenant with somebody, you're doing exactly what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He cut a covenant with His blood with us, and it won't be broken. But for some people, it's easy to just, you know, flow in and flow out. But through this teaching, I hope that we can understand that we do have this relationship with each other. And I recognize that there are times that God calls people to go someplace else, to do a work or do something. You know, He speaks to people's hearts. But I also recognize that people use the "God told me" card way too often. And, you know, I think they just carry it around in their back pocket, so in case they need to take it out, "God told me." What do you say when somebody says, "God told me"? Okay. All right. Yeah. Right. But those are the kind of things that, you know, we have to deal with. I was reading a little thing about a Methodist church that had this gentleman in the community. The pastor kept inviting him, and he wouldn't come. And finally, the pastor said, you know, he got right down to the nitty-gritty, "Why won't you come?" He said, "Well, I don't have the clothes to come to church." Of course, the pastor told him, "You don't have to have certain clothes," but that was his hindrance. So a member in the congregation went out and took this guy out, bought him clothes. Bought him a brand new 3-piece suit, a tie, shirt, everything. New shoes. Next Sunday morning, he wasn't there. Pastor went to visit him. Pastor said, "What happened?" The guy said, "Well, I got up, I got dressed, I looked in the mirror, I looked at myself, and I said, man, you look good enough to go to the Episcopal Church." So that's where I went. Yeah. I say that because the truth is, sometimes we bring people in to Bethel Worship Center or whatever church, and we do help get them cleaned up and looking sharp and you know, doing the things that Christ wants them to do. And they do move on to someplace else. Sometimes because God said, you know, I've got another place for you. I've got something else for you to do. It's a growth process in their life. And as hard as that is as a pastor, I just have to say, okay, God, okay. You know, we did what we were supposed to do. We watered, we fertilized, we did whatever it was that we were supposed to do. The rest is up to you, God. You've got somebody else. You know, Paul said, you know, I done my part, Apollos done his part. But we're just doing what God called us to do. The increase comes from God. Sometimes we just have to accept that. Amen? I don't like it. But I have to accept it. And you know what? And it's very important that we maintain relationship with people. If somebody has come here for a long time and now they're going someplace else, you know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's maintain relationship with those people. Reach out to them. Love them. All right, the first thing I want to talk about this morning, I quoted Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. I want to talk about the fact that everyone in Christ is part of the body. What does it mean to be in Christ? Does that mean that you were raised in a Christian home? Does that mean that you just know who Jesus is? No, of course not. I think everybody sitting in here probably recognizes that being in Christ, if you don't, I want to make sure you do, that being in Christ means that you recognize that Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is the Son of God who came, lived, walked on this earth, did miracles, died on the cross for your sins, my sins, for every person's sins, came back to life for us so that we could defeat death and hell. That's right. That's right. So when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him with your mouth and trust Him to take away your sins, you are in Christ. Praise God. Being in Christ is the most important thing a person can do in their life. Making that decision. There was a NASCAR driver. I'm trying to remember his name just off the top of my head. But he became a Christian a few years ago. And he had won several titles in the NASCAR. I'm not a big NASCAR fan, so I don't know all that stuff. The Winston Cup or something that he had won. And Gordon, that's right. Yes, thank you. It was Jeff Gordon. And, he, you know, he had had these thrills in his life, but he had accepted Christ and was baptized, and someone asked him how he felt. And he said, "This is the greatest day of my life." Isn't that incredible? All the things that he has experienced, the excitement that he had, you know, and these guys zoom around the track 180 mile an hour, sometimes close to 200. You know, that's pretty thrilling. If I drive 70, Tammy's yelling at me. Yes, that's true. Only if it's a 55 zone, she says. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's incredible. That's the greatest day of his life. It's the greatest day of my life when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And we went to a lake not too far from here and was baptized. My parents were there. You know, Tammy's mom was there, and we invited everybody to come. You know, it was an incredible day. I'm surprised everybody in Meigs County didn't turn out to see if it was real. What? Rob Barber? Hallelujah. Everyone in Christ is part of the body. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." So we as the church, anyone who makes Christ their personal Savior becomes a part of the body of Christ. And being a part of the body of Christ gives you some privileges that sometimes we don't even realize. Blessings that you have the opportunity to tap into just by knowing what the Word of God says and living according to the dictates and the principles of the Almighty God in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you keep His commandments, you will have a full, rich life. Now, I'm not promising you that you will not have problems. Life is full of problems, issues, things, heartaches, pain. You know, you just don't take that away just by becoming a Christian. But when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, we have a Savior that walks with us. We have the power of Almighty God. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us that gives us strength and the ability to be able to walk and accomplish and do and overcome and continue even when the path becomes very difficult. Even when we have to go uphill and we don't feel like it. Even when we're in the valley and it's painful. No matter what, He is there. It's important that we recognize as part of the body of Christ that we have been given a responsibility to be in the body. So that what we're doing here this morning is what we call church, but it's actually a worship service. And it's what the body of Christ is supposed to do collectively from time to time. It's an exciting part of being the church and being the body. Now, I've encountered people recently who said, you know, I don't need church. I'm a believer. We pray at home. We read the Bible, but I don't need other people. And those people usually have been wounded in some way. And I try to be very careful with the things that I say and what, you know, way you handle people like that. Because you don't know what's gone on in their life. So you just try to encourage them and love them. Try to pull them back into the body of believers, because the truth is, without this kind of fellowship, it's very easy to lose your spiritual power, enthusiasm. We need each other's encouragement. We need that power in our lives. We need to stay connected. We need to be like those. Have you ever seen those games, those little puzzles, like chains and pieces of metal that hook together and you try to get them apart? This thing's driving me crazy. I know people, let me see that. It's gone. They open it right up. How'd you do that? It doesn't work for me. But that's good, because what I see here is what the body of Christ is supposed to be like. Yeah. That you can't just walk up and take it apart. Can't just be plucked out of the body. That's right. Doesn't happen. That's right. There's nothing, according to the Scripture, that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And the power of God keeps you connected to the body of Christ. And I hope it keeps you connected to Bethel Worship Center. There's no Lone Rangers in the body. We need this assembly. We need to recognize how important it is. A few years ago, there was a newspaper that there was a letter that was sent in to the editor, and the guy said, I've gone to church for 30 years. In that time, I've heard probably something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and I think pastors are wasting their time. Well, you know, much to the paper's delight, they just kept going back and forth in that community for a long time, people giving their opinion. And finally, one guy wrote in. He said, I've been married for 30 years. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this. They all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. The point is, without the nourishment of this type of worship service, without life groups, without extra meetings, revivals, whatever we want to call them, without fellowship with one another, we could become spiritually weak. We need each other. Number two point I want to make this morning is the body of Christ is universal. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The body of Christ is everywhere. Now, when I say universal, I'm not talking about the Catholic Church, because that's what Catholic means, universal church. They have their own opinions about things. They have their own religious ways about things. I'm not condemning Catholics, but I am very much opposed to the overall Catholicism, because they teach and train people in things that are not of God. Enough said about that. I do believe there are believers in the Catholic Church, no doubt about it. But when I say the universal church, I mean that God has His people everywhere. God's people are everywhere all the time. You can go just about anywhere and you can find believers. You can go any place in the world. I remember that song when we were growing up. Jesus loves the little children. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in His sight. Doesn't matter where you go. There are believers everywhere. The gospel has spread. The gospel is real. And the body of Christ is wherever you go. Have you ever just run into somebody someplace? You never met them before, but there was just a bond as soon as you met that person. You didn't know they were a believer, but you knew they were a believer. They didn't tell you, but there was just, you know, it just happens. This happened to me several times. I just know that this person is a believer in Jesus Christ. There's a bond there. And we need to recognize that God has His remnant everywhere, all over the place. I don't care what the name is over the church. Baptist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Charismatic, Pentecostal. It doesn't matter. God has His people. And God's people need to be pulling together to accomplish God's will, His kingdom work. Number three, the body of Christ is diverse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read from verse 14 through 20. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But not now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Hallelujah. God has set them in order, in place, just as he pleases. Who are we to reject any part of the body of Christ? And yet sometimes that happens. You know, one of the things that I see happening in the church, and we don't even realize it, but if we have people who come in from outside, and I'm talking locally here because we don't even realize this sometimes that we do this, but if we have people who come in from another area, say from the inner city, and they move to this area, we're not comfortable with them. Because they don't fit into our culture. And I know they're not comfortable with us. Because we're different. Amen? That's all over the world, the body of Christ. Now, this is something the body of Christ has got to overcome. We got to realize it doesn't matter who these people are or where they've come from. They're still brothers and sisters in Christ. Therefore, we need to overcome our opinions about what is appropriate and recognize that God has a plan and has a way that things should be done, not necessarily our way, always. I hope that I'm making myself clear here. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying that, you know, my brother and sister, Otis and Ivy, right here. I love these two. Wonderful people. But they're not country people like we are. You know that, don't you? They both grew up in Columbus. They came from a different culture than we came from, than we live in. And if we're not careful, and I think they've been wonderful to accept our culture. Amen, that's right, gracious, many times. And I think we've tried to do basically the same thing. We try to accept their culture and hear the things. But, you know, this is what I'm trying to, I'm talking to you about. I just want you to understand that it's been a process for us to meld together as the body of Christ. They can learn some things and we can learn some things. But most importantly, we walk in love toward one another. Hallelujah. You know, that Ivy kind of drove that home to me one time. I was at a church service, and we were over in West Virginia, way back in Spencer, beyond Spencer, West Virginia. Woo! We think we live in the sticks. Yeah. But, you know, I got up and I said, you know, we're all just country people, you know, country folk. And later on, Ivy said to me, she said, Pastor, I got to correct you. We're not all country folk. Oh, yeah, you're right. It doesn't matter. Amen? We're very diverse, and I want us to be diverse. I want the church to be diverse, but we have to recognize we are very diverse in the giftings of what God has given us and what everybody has been gifted in this body. And use your gifts. I encourage you to use your gifts. Try not to get outside of your gifts and your calling. You know, everybody, there are things that happen that need to take place in this church. You know, there are just certain things. If somebody comes in to me and says, you know, we need some help out in the parking lot, and I would say to Randy Falks, Randy, go out and help in the parking lot, please. And Randy would say, well, Pastor, my gift is faith. I'll pray for you that you'll get somebody, but do you think there's something wrong there? Amen. Now, sometimes we can use our gifts and callings as an excuse, but the reality is we have all been given specific gifts in the body of Christ that cause us to come together as the body so that we can function. Hallelujah. My ear itches. I can't tell my other ear, scratch it. No. Oh, that feels good. Because the body's functioning the way it's supposed to. If we're not careful as the body of Christ, we will seek our own. You know, I know it always happens, but when we have dinners, we normally, I'm talking about in church. Look around. Where are you sitting? You sat there last time? Yeah. I mean, that's how I tell whether people are at church or not. Because I know where to look. When we go to the dinners, we have a tendency to sit with some of the same people. Some people get crazy about, oh, that's just a bunch of cliques. No, that's just who we are because we're comfortable with that. We need to recognize that and get to know other people in our fellowship. Move around a little bit. Be uncomfortable. One Sunday, it's been several years ago, the Holy Spirit said, have people change places. So we did. Billy said that, you know, he said right before I told everybody to do that, he heard the same thing from God. Just need to shake it up a little bit. Not much fun when God shakes us up, is it? Sometimes people, and I'm sure there was some people here that did it, but they were saying, what in the world is he doing? Praise God. The diversity is so important in us and in the church. A few years ago, a pastor by the name of Mike Bruo, I believe is his name. He was a senior pastor at Sutherland Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky. And he was teaching on, loving people, bringing in the undesirables out of society, reaching out to people, sharing good things. And right in the middle of his series, one morning the people came in, and sitting in the middle of the church was a bag lady. Now, this is in Lexington, Kentucky, so they had a lot of homeless people. And it was a bag lady, and she looked pretty bad. Not only did she look bad, she smelled bad. She was not a pleasant person to be around. In fact, that whole area cleared out. People didn't talk to her. People didn't, encourage her, love her. Now, keep in mind, he was teaching on reaching out to people. Well, finally, they went through the whole service, and finally it was time for Pastor to come up and preach, and no one could find Pastor. All of a sudden, the bag lady got up and started walking to the front of the church. As she walked, and in people's horror, she started shedding clothes. When she got up to the pulpit, it wasn't a she after all, it was the pastor. People sat in stunned silence as the pastor says, let's read from James 2, 1 through 4. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should come into a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit there at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Wow. I would not want to be in that congregation that morning. Or maybe I would. Maybe that would be a wake-up call to all of us. Who we really are sometimes, as difficult as it is. Number four, I want to share with you this morning. Wrap this up real quick. Members are expected to be productive. Now, this has been a fun message up until this point. And now I'm going to hold you accountable. Because every one of you is a member of the body of Christ. And members of the body of Christ are to be productive in the body of Christ. We're told that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. To edify and uplift and train the body of Christ. To do the work of the ministry is what we are told from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God created good works long before we were born for us to participate in, to be a part of, to reach out, to do the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. What was that? Every part does its share. You see, if you are a part of the body and you're not doing your share, just like my arm. For a while, I was having tendonitis in my elbow. And when you have tendonitis, tennis elbow, tendonitis, same thing. When you have that, if you've ever had it, you know it's just painful to move, particularly if you pick something up. So when, you know, and it goes on for quite a while, doesn't just come and go away. So for a long time, I wasn't using my arm like I should. And guess what? I lost muscle in that arm. I started getting weaker in that arm. And if you, for some reason, a person has an injury in a limb and you don't use it, atrophy will set in. And you'll just about use the complete use of that limb. Your body needs your arm, your legs. We need each and every person in here to do their share. You not only become weak spiritually, emotionally, but the body of Christ is hindered because you're not doing your share. I encourage you, get involved. Do your share. Be a part. There's earthly rewards for that. Do you realize that? God has promised us that if we do what He has called us to do, that He's going to reward us here in this earth at this time. Ephesians 6:8 says this, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And he's talking about here in this time, in this life. You're going to receive good things. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For what? For whoever or whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, I want you to understand the principle of sowing and reaping, how important it is when it comes to doing good things. Because we've just read that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You're going to get rewards, the Ephesians tells us, for doing good. Now, I believe you sow and you reap in like kind, for the most part. If you sow financially, you're going to reap financially. You sow emotionally, you're going to reap emotionally. That's why, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you sow relationally, you're going to reap relationally. You need to be a well-balanced person so that you have a good crop growing up in every area of your life. As you continue to reap, you continue to sow, you continue to reap. It's a growing and learning and expanding process in our life. But I want you to also, I need to understand God is a sovereign God. And I don't think that you put $10 in the offering and tomorrow you get 20 back all the time. It does happen. Sometimes you get 100 back. And that all, many times that has to do with obedience, or if you're hearing what God is telling you to do. But with God being a sovereign God, He can choose how He rewards us with our obedience. So when I'm sowing seed, financial seed, I don't run out and look immediately to see where I'm going to find that financial reward. I just like God take care of it. And believe me, He does. First of all, everybody in here probably knows that we just recently bought a house. What a blessing this congregation has been to us. I want to thank every one of you who have helped in any way. And I'm not going to name any names because, everybody's helped some way. We've had financial contributions given to us so that we could buy flooring and just materials and cabinets and just things. We had to do some extensive remodeling in this home. Some people came and gave of their time and their efforts, which was very, very valuable. Just incredible outreach. But I want to say this. Because I want you to understand, I'm trying to connect this to what I'm talking about. Tammy and I have lived a life of sowing into other people's lives. And, I've had a couple people come up to me and say, I want to do this for you. And I get a little embarrassed, I guess, sometimes when somebody wants to give me something. I guess growing up, you learn to be self-sufficient. I'll take care of myself kind of attitude. Well, that's the wrong attitude in the body of Christ. It really is. So people say to me sometimes, are you trying to rob me of a blessing? They put me in my place. And, when I think of it that way, do I really believe what I'm teaching? Yes, I do believe it. Therefore, if I believe it, when somebody is motivated by the Holy Spirit to do something good for me, I should just accept it graciously. Thank you. So I'm saying thank you to this congregation this morning for all that you've done for us. It's just been awesome. And hopefully we can have all of you over to see our place once we get everything in place. We're still... Talked to Tammy last night, and we had our grandsons over, and we were just trying to fix up something to eat. I hadn't not yet hooked up the stove. I had to change it over from natural gas to LP. So we were just joking around. It's kind of like camping out, you know. Don't have all the stuff. For a couple of days, we were living over in that house, and all our silverware was over in the other house. So we were running back and forth and getting towels and that kind of thing. But, you know, praise God, it's just right across the road. We can run over and grab things if we want to. I'm not sure why I told you that, man. Productive. Now, we want to be productive. Yes, God's going to reward us. But most importantly, if we are productive here in the kingdom of God, here in this earth, we're going to reap rewards, eternal rewards. Jesus told us that you're going to lay up treasure in heaven. It's the most important thing. Don't be so concerned about laying up treasure here, but lay them up in heaven. In Matthew 6:21, that's exactly what he said. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's think about our treasure. Where is it? I want mine to be an eternal treasure. You know, praise God. I'm so thankful that I do have an eternal reward. And I'm going to do my very best. I've been called to be pastor of Bethel Worship Center, and that's my calling. And when I step into eternity, I don't believe Billy Graham's going to get any more reward than I do, because I'm doing what I'm called to do. That's right. Amen? I'm just going to look at him and laugh. See? You guys think I'm crazy, don't you? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is the bema seat of Christ. That's where Christians are going to be judged. Okay? It's not the great white throne judgment. There's two different judgments that's going to happen. Christians are judged by Jesus in the bema seat of Christ. Therefore, he's talking directly to Christians. And we like to think, because of the grace of God, that our works have nothing to do with what the rewards that we're going to receive. It's all the blood of Jesus. Yes, when it comes to entering into heaven, absolutely, that is true. You're going to go to heaven because of the blood of Jesus, not because of your works. But the scripture is very clear on the reality that there are rewards that you will receive when you enter in to the kingdom of God. Real quick, this is the last scripture. We're wrapping it up. I've already gone way too long. 1 Corinthians 3. Beginning with verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers to whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's what I was talking about earlier. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay. Skip over to verse 14. It says, if anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I just want to make this real quick point. What he's saying here, absolutely, your salvation is intact in Jesus Christ. However, if you want rewards, that's going to be connected to being obedient and being an active, productive member of the body of Christ. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Just bow your head. God's just stirring your heart this morning. I'm just going to pray a general prayer. I'm going to ask everybody, just have your head bowed. If God stirred your heart this morning in regards to being an active member of the body of Christ, and you just, you know you haven't been fulfilling all that, and you would like to, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise your hand. That's not important. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe that God's going to stir you and cause you to have a desire to fulfill His calling in your life. You have gifts and talents that this body needs, that the world needs. And we want you to be productive in His kingdom. Heavenly Father, just touch the hearts of your people this morning. Help us all to be productive members of your kingdom, fulfilling your will, hearing your voice, Lord. I know that you call us and you order our steps. You guide and direct. You show us the way, Father. Help us to draw together and continue. For those who are, that we will continue to be productive. For those who want to be more productive, Father God, stir us up, draw us in, show us your way and your will. Father, as we open doors and we show people how they can be productive here at Bethel Worship Center through many ministries and opportunities, touch people's hearts. Have them, allow them to be open-minded and open heart to receive your will. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like prayer for healing, please come up. Ask the prayer warriors to come up and pray for anyone who has need.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.